Looking for a new sports show?
So my wife and I go to the movies because you have to go opening weekend.
Yeah, I was with my boy, so he got us right up to the front of the line of this new club.
So I'm stuck watching my sister's dog again. He's throwing up all night.
2.5 games back in the standings, I feel like the Mets are one big bat away from competing. Imagine that. A sports show that's about sports. The Joe Fan Show. Are you fan enough?
Welcome to the Joe Fan Show with your host, Clayton Hamilton.
Greetings, sports fans. My name is Clayton Hamilton, and you're listening to the Joe Fan Show, coming to you live from fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, the greatest city in the world, right here on the home of Vegas sports, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Let's check the headlines. The Los Angeles Police Department have confirmed they're investigating a vandalism incident as a possible hate crime at a home owned by LeBron James, where a racial slur has been spray painted on the front gate. The Brentwood home is not James's primary residence, nor was he at the property today. He is currently with the team in Oakland preparing for game one of the NBA Finals. VfL Wolfsburg in the German Bundesliga has acquired American defenseman John Brooks from Hertha Berlin for 20 million euro, or $22.4 million. This is a record transfer fee for an American player. Although he was born in Berlin, Brooks is the son of a U.S. serviceman. He holds dual citizenship and is a member of the U.S. men's national team. And results from the French Open on the men's side, top 10 seeds Novak Djokovic, Rafael Nadal, Milos Raonic, and David Goffin have all advanced. On the ladies' side, Garbiñe Muguruza, Venus Williams, and Carolina Wozniacki have all advanced, while number 15 Petra Kvitova and number 6 Domenica Sibulkova were both ousted. Today we have Matt Reed and Stefan Filliard, plus a special guest from Heroes in the Rough, Chris Lockett. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Are you fan enough?
So let's get loud and let's get proud. We got a game to play. Game on, let's play ball. There won't be a better time to give it our all. Stand tall, let's get it on. I know you hear that crowd, they're about to get loud. Game on.
The Joe Fan Show is brought to you by the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center, with locations in both Henderson and on the West Side. Dr. John Petrick and his dedicated staff are committed to helping you lead a pain-free life. Visit them at lvprc.com and take the first step toward feeling great. Clayton Hamilton here in Las Vegas, going out to my good buddy in Oakland, California, always feeling great, Matt Reed. Welcome, Matt.
Clayton, good to be here, bud.
Hey, man, I hope you had a wonderful holiday weekend.
I did. It was nice and relaxing. Went up to Lake Tahoe. Enjoyed it up there.
Excellent. I had a really good time over the weekend. You know, I had a much better weekend, though, than Mike Trout, who has torn ligaments in his thumb, going to opt for the surgery. He will be out until after the All-Star break. Pretty big blow for an Angels team that was fighting against all hope to go nowhere.
You know what? They're actually playing pretty decent baseball, though. I was surprised to think, you know, they're hovering right around 500, but when you lose a guy like Trout, I mean, he is the best player in baseball. I think there's no doubt about that.
I also had a better weekend than Kell Brook did, Matt. He had his eye socket broken by Errol Spence in their welterweight fight. Also a better weekend than Scott Dixon, who at 220 miles an hour caught his car on fire, went airborne right into the wall. Had a better weekend than the catfish that ended up on the ice. Had a better weekend than Angelique Kerber, the first number one seed in French Open history to go out in the first round. Also, and you may not believe this, had a better weekend than Tiger Woods.
It sounds like you had a great – yeah, I can't believe that. It sounds like you had a pretty good weekend then, huh?
Yeah, not terrible at all. Just watched a whole lot of auto racing and a little bit of golf and some tennis, a little bit of baseball. So good time had by me. You know, Matt, we got a special guest with us today, Chris Lockett, our auction winner from Heroes in the Rough, the wounded service member athletic program here in Las Vegas, avid golfer, avid sportsman. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
It is great to have you here. Thank you for your service. What service branch were you in?
Actually, I did not serve. I'm just a friend of the people who did serve.
Oh, okay.
And I'm friends with Rob.
All right.
And then so he comes out to my park all the time, and he talked me into coming out, and which was an easy sell.
Yeah.
And so I just came out to support.
Excellent. I did not serve either, but I love hanging out with the guys, and we're going to be out at the Bears Best Golf Course on Saturday the 3rd in order to play in their Marine Corps tournament, so always a good time. So speaking of folks that have been in a fight, Chris, that takes us to San Francisco, to Bryce Harper and Hunter Strickland. They got themselves into a little ruckus the other day. Major League Baseball handing out suspensions. Originally 4 games for Bryce Harper, reduced to 3, 6 games for Hunter Strickland. Did you get to catch the fight, and what did you think of it?
I thought it was great. I saw it, and... Yeah, I thought it was great. I don't think you have a choice in that situation. I think as Bryce is you have to come out, is you can't be thrown at. So, yeah, I think he did what he had to do.
Yeah, CompuBox, Matt, they scored the fight on Twitter. They said one of 2 power shots for Bryce Harper gave him the round 10-9. You're up there in the San Francisco Bay Area. What is the coverage of this fiasco been?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you know, when you first saw it happen, I mean, you weren't sure at first, and then, boy, it escalated quickly. And, yeah, like you said, you know, we usually see a lot of benches clear but no major punches thrown, but these guys got some great punches in. And, yeah, everyone up here, obviously they're going to defend their guy Strickland, but, I mean, I think Posey said it all, or his body language said it all, when he didn't move from behind the plate. He just let it go because – you know, it was a stupid thing to do. I mean, this is dating back to 2014. He's going to bean him for 2 home runs he gave up in the NLDS. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So, yeah, good for Bryce Harper. The best tweet I saw was Michael Young said, "You got to grab the helmet by the ear hole," because we saw Harper had it by the bill, and when he went to chuck it, it went 30 feet to the right. So, yeah, when you're going to throw a helmet at someone, use the ear hole.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of was hoping that he would have done the Chan Ho Park kick, but that was one of my favorite.
No one could do the Chan Ho Park kick other than Chan Ho Park.
That is, I don't know if anybody else would even attempt it. Bruce Bochy said that he thought it was a personal thing, and it certainly wasn't ordered from the bench. Dusty Baker calling it a selfish act. When you look at all this beyond, you know, sort of the talking and the little bit of fun that people have had with this, a pretty serious situation when you look at Michael Morris, Chris, the first baseman for the Giants. He's in the 7-day DL going through concussion protocol for the smack that he laid on his own teammate diving into the pile. But it goes sort of beyond this to what is the place of fighting and standing up for yourself and machismo and the unwritten rules of baseball when you look at it as a fan, as a parent, as a leader in the community. Like, where does that sit with you?
I think you have to do it in that case. You know, everybody has an ego out there. Everybody wants to stand up for themselves. You're being thrown at, so you just can't let it go. Unfortunately, things happen like injuries and people get hurt going out there and doing it, but I just don't think you can let it slide. Because if you let it slide now, then next time if you don't do something, then it comes back on you again. So I just think it's something that has to happen. It's unfortunate, but I think it's part of the game.
Yeah, Matt, when you look at sort of the way that baseball polices itself versus other sports, you don't really see the mass brawls in any of the other sports. Hockey, they sort of square off one-on-one. Basketball's made it very clear that if you come off the bench, it's going to be a pretty significant suspension and fine. Same with football. You rarely see it escalate into an entire team. What is it about baseball that they can't just let the pitcher and the batter square off like hockey?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question because, I mean, you think it should be a fair fight, right, with the pitcher and the hitter, just one-on-one, but it never ends up to be the case. You know, you got the bullpen guys need to get in it, and the coaches, that's what I always love. You know, the Dodgers had a bench-clearing little scuffle with the Marlins, and, boy, the coaches were really going at it, and that's something I like to see. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard because we don't see a lot of stuff behind the scenes because, you know, when a player shows up another team, you know the next guy's probably going to get plunked, and that's something mm-hmm. that is part of those unwritten rules. And that's stuff that, you know, teams internally will deal with in the clubhouse. If, you know, I know Puig obviously had issues with the Dodgers, and that's the, you know, stuff they had to handle inside the clubhouse, you know, to avoid anyone else really taking a pitch like this. But, you know, when it comes down to it, I agree with Chris. I mean, you have to stand up for yourself. This pitcher has a lot of control out there with the ball. You know, he could hit you anywhere with the 98-mile fastball. I mean, that's going to cause some damage.
Personally, I don't think half the guys want any part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when the rest of your dugout's going out there, you have to go. You have to live with those guys every day. But, you know, like, if you look at Buster Posey, mm-hmm. he wanted no part of that.
Right, and neither really did the infield, with the exception Correct. Of Michael Morris, who, right. you know, he loves that sort of thing. But the rest of the infield kind of stood there and was like, really? Are we going to...
They got some big boys out there,
yeah.
Worth and all those guys. Who wants to be a part of that?
Yeah, I guess what the bigger question is when it comes to sportsmanship and respect and going back to what starts all of this stuff to begin with, and we'll go out to you with this, Matt. When you look at the last big good fight, Ruglan Odor, Jose Bautista, all stemming from a bat flip, that's what really started the nonsense. That turned into violence. It turned into a pitch at Bautista. It turned into a slide that could injure Ruglan Odor. Like, I don't have a problem with Ruglan Odor wanting to stand up for himself with that nasty slide that Bautista had. I don't even mind Bautista wanting to stand up for himself for being thrown at. The problem that I have is this all stems from machismo of, oh, well, you showed me up. You didn't show me the proper respect. Screw respect, Matt. Like, nobody owes you any respect at all in any aspect of life. And that's why the tank every weekend down at County is full. It's because guys have to stand up for what they perceive as having to have respect shown for them because they don't have enough self-esteem on their own to be like, you know what? He hit my fastball into the bag.
So he could throw the bat 30 feet in the air if he wants to.
Exactly.
Which is true. And then, but I think with, more than any other sport, it's baseball, really, and it always stems back to the unwritten rules, or it stems back to the way you're supposed to play the game. And I think because baseball is the one sport where, you know, you have the farm system, you have, you know, the Major League Club, and there's so many old-timers that are still part of baseball, from the scouts to the coaches or whatever it is. So it still has that perceived, you know, this is how you should play the game. But, you know, we got a lot of young guys now that, you know, they are flashy and they're going to show off a little bit. And, yeah, there is nothing wrong with that. And like you said, I think it just comes down to a machismo or a feeling disrespected factor that shouldn't matter because, you know, you made the point. If I hit a home run off you... Too bad. Throw a better pitch next time.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It always starts from this, you showed me up. And we saw this at the French Open, Matt. The French Open that Laurent Locally and Martin Clizon and Locally wouldn't shake his hand at the end because he felt that Clizon celebrated when he double faulted. He pumped his fist, and now he's like, now he gave him the Mutombo. Right. He gave him the Mutombo finger at the handshake, and then he had to be restrained by the umpire. In tennis!
Yeah. Yeah, it's in every sport now.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's in every sport.
Mm-hmm. And you even look at this weekend, Matt, in the NASCAR race, the Coca-Cola 600, right? There was a dust-up between Jimmy Johnson and the guy that was in front of him in the pits. His name just escaped my head, Eric Jones. And he felt that Eric Jones parked too close to the line on his pit stop. And so he had to swerve around him. And he was talking on the radio saying what goes around comes around, and he's going to find himself in the wall. Like, these guys are making threats to each other at 180 miles an hour because he felt like you didn't park right.
Yeah, NASCAR's always been that way. Well, I mean, that's NASCAR, though.
Yeah,
that's,
but there's a difference even between an 85-mile-an-hour, 90-mile-an-hour fastball at your hip and 180 miles an hour in the wall, Chris.
Yeah, ego involved.
Mm-hmm.
machismo, whatever you call it, it's the exact same thing. Disrespect. You're not going to disrespect me. I'm going to pay you back by either hitting you with the baseball. I'm going to run you into the wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the same thing.
Yeah, it's funny because if you were to talk about this like in real life terms, I guess when we're talking driving cars, you know, there's road rage and people getting angry on the road. But can you imagine someone just putting you in the center divider because you came a little close to a lane or you cut them off or whatever? But yet, it's acceptable in NASCAR. Like that's what people expect, right? And it's crazy because in real life, it's just so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And I can go to any casino property right now and find 15 people in every row that can't park their car. like anywhere you go, you find somebody that can't park their car, that their tail's hanging out, or they you know, the guy with the crappy car takes up two spaces. But I'm not going to put somebody into the center divider, like you said, at 180 miles an hour because I have to walk a little bit farther. It's so dumb, and it's now getting to a point where guys are talking about and they're looking forward to fighting each other. We see Josh Norman and Odell Beckham Jr., Matt, who had the dust-up a couple of years ago, and Josh Norman said that, you know, he really legitimately is looking forward to fighting him.
Well, I'm sure he really legitimately is. And again, when you have egos that big, I think we're always going to have conflict. There's always going to be fights in sports. And, you know, not that it's a terrible thing, because sometimes, you know, that's the way that they have to settle it. You know, we see that in the NHL all the time. There's guys that make a living off doing stuff like that. But, yeah, all the talk and all the nonsense, I mean, it's not my favorite part of the game, and it's nothing that I really enjoy. I enjoy going out and watching guys have huge performances or seeing things, you know, you rarely see. But all this nonsense, yeah, not for me.
Yeah, I just wish, like I said, they would do it just like the hockey, let the guys square up, especially in basketball, because you get all those really weak fights and you get the guys pumping their chest and you get guys kicking each other in the marbles, you know, when they're rolling around the ground. Like, just let two guys just square off right at the center, go at it. If you want to fight each other, that's great. I'm starting to understand one thing, Matt, and you know what that is?
What's that?
I'm starting to understand why certain people like prison so much, because that's what they get to do. They get to eat and they get to fight. Isn't that a great life? I don't understand it. I never will. Calm down on the machismo, guys.
But there's
God's
no penalty.
Sakes.
And so they're going to keep doing it until there's a real, real penalty for doing it.
Yeah, because
suspension and fines. Eh.
Yeah, they've got enough money to cover all of that. So I'm with you. They gotta. Like I said, I make it like hockey. Just let them go, and all of a sudden, when you get a couple of fists in the teeth, I think some of these guys just might calm down. When we come back, Stefan Filio going to join us. We've got a whole lot of basketball to carry us to the top of the hour. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio, 920 The Game. The Joe Fan Scoreboard is brought to you by Kazoom Adventures. For outdoor hikes that can win you money, visit radio.gokazoom.com for exclusive picture and video clues. Get outdoors, find flags, play Kazoom, the hottest new game in Vegas. radio.gokazoom.com. A couple of finals in Major League Baseball from earlier today. Blue Jays complete the sweep of the Reds 5-4. Roberto Osuna gave up a run in the ninth but held on for his 11th save of the season. Marlins 10-2 victors over the Phillies. Justin Bour with two home runs on the day. And the Astros continue to roll. They score 17, beat the Twins 17-6. Six home runs combined by the Astros players. 5-5 is your score in the 11th. A little bit of a rain delay there in Pittsburgh. We've got one game in progress. The Cubs and the Padres all tied up at one in the bottom of the sixth inning. Games later tonight, starting at 3 p.m., the A's are in Cleveland to face the Indians. Sean Manaea versus Mike Clevenger. Up at four, the Yankees are at the Orioles, Masahiro Tanaka and Kevin Gausman. Brewers at the Mets with Junior Gura and Jacob DeGrom. Up at five, Rays and Rangers, Chris Archer and Austin Bibbins-Dirks.
Red Sox and White Sox from the South Side, Drew Pomeranz versus Mike Pelfrey. Tigers at the Royals of Matthew Boyd and Ian Kennedy. And the Dodgers are at the Cardinals, Hyunjin Ryu and Carlos Martinez. And just three games from the West Coast, all starting at 7 o'clock. The Braves are at the Angels, Jaime Garcia versus Jesse Chavez. Rockies and the Mariners from Safeco, Anthony Sensatella and James Paxton. And the Nationals are at the Giants from AT&T, Max Scherzer versus Matt Kane. And game two of the Stanley Cup Finals from Pittsburgh gets underway at 5. The Penguins look to go up 2-0 over the Nashville Predators. And that is a look at your Joe Fan scoreboard. Matt!
Clayton, a couple things that you mentioned there real quick. Mm-hmm. One, what a hockey game on Monday night. A lot of fireworks there. And the whole NHL playoffs have been great. So that's always a fun one to watch. And is there anybody happier than the Minnesota Twins to see Houston finally get out of town?
Wow. I tell you what, they have brought the whooping stick with them. The Houston Astros, they are legit top to bottom. Their bullpen is starting to come together, and all they do, Matt, is hit.
Oh, an 11-run eighth inning on Monday. I mean, that's just absurd. You know who wish the Cubs need to find some way to start hitting. They need to take some tips from Houston, because talk about a team that's really struggling. I mean, they can't even score against San Diego.
Yeah, they're having a tough time of it, and a really bad run of luck there for the Twins, because the Twins have been playing pretty good baseball, and they sort of feel up in Minnesota, Matt, that they're going to stick around all summer long.
Yeah, you're right. They're playing great baseball, and they're scoring runs too. It's not like they're not scoring, but boy, Houston just came in and took it to them.
Yeah, they certainly did. So keep an eye on the Astros. We've been talking about them a lot since spring training. Clayton Hamilton here in Las Vegas. Matt Reed out in Oakland, California, joined in the studio by Chris Lockett from Heroes in the Rough and our NBA insider, Stefan Filial. Welcome back from the Billboard Music Awards.
Oh,
I hope it's nice to be back among real sports fans. You don't have to hang out with Drake anymore.
Yo, but his performance was pretty cool, though. I can't lie. I was a little impressed.
Yeah, Drake out in the middle of the Bellagio Fountain, like so many other have done before. Completely unoriginal, Matt.
Oh. You got to give the production team some credit, man.
I enjoyed that too as well, Stefan.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
You know what would be great about
Drake
is if you could understand what he was saying. that would be great. He needs to take a class in diction and learn how to sing or speak or rap or whatever it is he does.
Look, I was in it for the effects,
right?
Just like the draft day.
Yeah, exactly. Thank God, Cher saved the day. So, speaking of saving the day, Stefan, there have been a plethora of rumors flying around the NBA mill.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of them concerning Cliff Paul's identical twin brother, Chris. And
is he still employed?
Yeah,
Cliff Paul still employed?
Whether or not he is going to make the big move from the Los Angeles Clippers over to the San Antonio Spurs, it had a lot of momentum over the weekend. It is dying down. Adrian Wojnarowski saying no chance.
And you know why it's dying down? One reason is because the Clippers are trying to pry Jerry West away from the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, man, there's so much going on around that one situation. That could affect that entire Clippers organization. One, they're trying to move back to Inglewood. Two, if Chris Paul stays and Jerry West comes to the Clippers, Chris Paul is most likely going to stay,
mm-hmm.
which means Blake Griffin might as well stay.
Right.
I don't know if that really sets them for the future, but it does bring a little more confidence and comfort with Jerry West there. It's a different kind of aura than other organizations. And I think that would definitely change the direction of the organization and how they're looked at. With Blake Griffin staying, who knows if he actually gets traded? Maybe they do a sign and trade and get something more.
Yeah, there's a lot of decisions to be made, Chris. If you're the Clippers front office, it seems to all start with Chris Paul. If he stays, you seem like you probably want to make a run. If he goes, is it time to blow the Clippers up?
I don't think he's going anywhere, first of all.
Yeah?
Financially, I think it's his best interest to stay there.
You don't think he's made enough money yet?
Is there ever enough?
Well, you know, there's a really interesting point to that because the Clippers can offer him, Matt, $205 million over 5 years, where the Spurs can offer him between $152 and $153.5 million over 4 years. So if you look at that 4 years of what that really means, he stays in L.A. versus going to Texas – with the taxes that he's not going to pay in Texas, it's only a $23 million difference. It's 177.32 to 141, and that's with an extra year now that he can go out and make more money. Does it make any sense to ever stay in Los Angeles?
Does it make sense to stay with the Clippers? That's the real question, right? Because they never win, and nothing ever goes right for the Clippers. We know that because you're a Clipper fan, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
I'm about to give up on it. I'm about to go all in on Memphis.
Hey, not to get off topic real quick, but I saw the best headline, Clayton. It said the Browns find Osweiler to be a pleasant surprise. Wait till he gets on the field. Then we'll see how pleasantly surprised they are.
Well, he's a surprise because his knee's not in a brace yet. And that's always surprising. But back to the Clip show.
Chris Paul, does he want to win? And that's the question. And San Antonio, I mean, we saw how close they were this year, and I think the pieces are still there for them to be competitive. And Kawhi Leonard is one of the best players in the league. You add Chris Paul alongside a guy like him, and you know Aldridge, if he decides he wants to show up all year, I mean, then we're talking about a big three that they got in San Antonio. So it really depends how badly does Chris Paul want to win, because I don't see it happen with the Clippers.
I love it with the Spurs. I love it and hate it, obviously. But for Chris Paul, I love it because he'll be under a system that can utilize him the best way and still have other pieces. I feel like they were contenders this year with a healthy Kawhi Leonard, but even with a Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard, I mean, that takes Kawhi off the ball a little more. He doesn't have to work as hard. And I think LaMarcus Aldridge needs a point guard. I mean, you look at how he had Damian Lillard and how he performed in Portland. I feel like he needs a point guard to facilitate a lot more, even though it's more of a passing game with Pop under his system. Chris Paul, you see in the playoffs, the game slows down, and you have to have a half court, and you have to have guys that can go and get their own buckets. And I think Chris Paul definitely introduces that for the Spurs.
Yeah, and I think that's all true. Mm-hmm. I think basketball wise, it makes sense to go to the Spurs, winning, and both Chris Paul. CP3, because I think he's got so much else going on, his shoe company.
Nike, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's got all these commercials going on. And if it comes along with everything else, okay, that's fine. But I think they're going to find a way to keep him there. And like I said, you know, winning's all good and fine. But at the end, after you're done, would you rather
have a ring or money?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
when you look at Chris,
not only money, part owner of your shoe company, your insurance deal thing, you like, you know, whatever he has going.
It's a new age.
If they get some pieces, I'm sorry. And no, if they get some pieces around him, then the Clippers are good. I mean, it's not like they're a dumpster fire.
Yeah, they are dumpster fire. We will get back to this. We got to run to break real quick. On the other side, we're going to pick up Chris Paul's conversation, whether or not he's going to stay in L.A. or he's off to San Antonio. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio, 920 The Game. The Joe Fan Show is brought to you by the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center, with locations in both Henderson and on the West Side. Dr. John Patrick and his dedicated staff are committed to helping you lead a pain-free life. Visit them at lvprc.com and take the first step toward a feeling great. Clayton Hamilton here in Las Vegas, Matt Reed in Oakland, California. Joining me in a studio from Heroes in the Rough, Chris Lockett and NBA insider Stefan Filia. We're going to pick up where we left off with CP3 and whether or not it's a reality that he could be on the way to San Antonio, or you think he's going to be back in L.A. If he does go to San Antonio, Stefan, they need to make some roster decisions because they have some cap issues with guys like Pau Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge and Tony Parker.
Yeah, I think they could lose quite a few people, but I feel like they'll pull the same thing that Golden State did with Kevin Durant. They did lose a lot of their bench. However, the addition of CP3 is just too great of an opportunity. And the way their scouting system is, they can find guys. I mean, how many guys have they found that are diamonds in the rough? I mean, Ginobili, what was he, 60th pick? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, well, I don't think they go 60. That's Tom Brady. Yeah, but he was like in the last round. And, yeah. And they're good at finding guys like that. They gave up George Hill to get Kawhi Leonard. And I think their mentality and their organization can find guys to fit around a CP3, a LaMarcus Aldridge, even if Ginobili came back, which is far-fetched for me. I mean, they'll still have Tony Parker back, so there's your backup point guard. And then you've got Pau Gasol. Maybe you don't keep Pau Gasol. You can find somebody else that does what he's been doing when he's active. I want to ask you this, Matt. I mean, do you think it would be too much, as we've seen during the regular season, like when the Warriors got KD, we saw struggles because we know in the playoffs you got to have your bench. Do you think it's too much of a risk?
No, I don't. You know, I mentioned, I think last time I was on the night of the good, best part that happened in Golden State this year was Durant going down for a little while because it did get their bench back into a flow because they were struggling. But I think benches will ebb and flow a little bit. Really, when it comes down to it, and what we're going to see in the finals is the bench play plays a small part, but in the finals, in the playoffs, it's going to be the main guys on the floor getting it done. And like you said, CP3 is just a difference maker that you can't find in a lot of places. You know, Parker had a pretty good year. Patty Mills played pretty well, but CP3 is a difference maker. So, I know we're talking all this, but Chris brought up some good points about the L.A. market and him being a big name out there. And Ballmer paid $2 billion for this team. I don't think he's going to let guys walk away quietly or without offering them something, whether it be a part ownership or something that they can't get in other places.
You would think so, but I mean, CP3 is going to be big wherever he goes. And you've got the addition of social media now, where it wasn't like that back then. I think it was like near its peak when the veto went down, when he was supposed to be a Laker. And so I don't really see the marketing angle.
I'm sort of with you that you don't have to be in LA to do a commercial or issue deal or any of those types of things.
Look at LeBron.
Yeah, exactly.
His house is in LA.
Exactly. I don't think that's necessarily important. But what is important to me, Chris, if I'm CP3, is what's going to change if I stay in LA? We still got DeAndre Jordan. We still got Blake Griffin. We're still trying to promote ourselves as the big three, but who's going to come help?
Well, that's a really good question. And I think the key is you have to go upstairs to the office and ask for some help and get some help, because you're right. Nothing will change, and we'll be having this exact same conversation at this point at the same time if he doesn't get any more players. But if I could go back a second to Stephon, do you think it works a CP3 in San Antonio with Tony Parker on the bench?
Well, I think Tony Parker is pretty much down that age. He doesn't really have much say. Patty Mills outplayed him this year. I don't think he has much say in what goes on anymore, especially with Kawhi Leonard taking the team. Mm-hmm. It's a younger team now. And
Would he be a quiet backup and just –
He'll have
just
to
accept
be.
It.
He doesn't have a choice, or get traded, or go play overseas.
Yeah, he's got one more year left on his contract, Matt. They can probably ditch him if they don't want a whole lot back in return.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure so someone would take him for a year or whatever it is. But I think, all the CP3 talk, the bigger question is send away Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
Is Blake Griffin that valuable? He never stays healthy. I've never seen him win a big game or a big series. Have you?
I haven't.
Or
I mean,
he's the guy that really could lead a team. I just don't see him being that guy.
He can do it for three quarters.
And exactly. What, a half a season? I mean, right. Come on. To me, yeah, everybody looks at the numbers, man. They're so glorious and everything. But, man, I'm telling you, you get another guy out there that can consistently shoot the three. I mean, Phil Jackson wants to get rid of Carmelo Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Griffin is in a stalemate of where to go. I think that needs to happen. I mean, at least you'll bring excitement back to the Garden. And I think Melo, even though he's kind of a bit of a ball stopper, he still shoots the three consistently, and he's a bully in the post. And they had that role for Blake Griffin anyway. Melo's just better at it.
Yeah.
And I mean, as far as defense, I mean, it's a wash. It doesn't really do anything. And so I think that kind of move needs to be made. I think Blake Griffin can go anywhere. I mean, I don't see him going to the Pacers for the Paul George trade. I don't really see that happening, especially since Larry Bird is gone. I can't see them picking up anybody in free agency either to add to that, because they've got cap issues.
Yeah, and they certainly would have to make some sort of roster moves to bring in a guy like Gordon Hayward.
Right, and all these guys are opting out.
Right.
And so it's not really pretty there right now. I think it's the choir before the storm a little bit, because I feel like this team will get blown up.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they've just got so many. Like I said, they're moving. I think it's just I think they're trying to go in a new direction, Steve Ballmer's direction, instead of what was already there.
Yeah, and we will see what happens. It will be certainly one of the most interesting teams in the offseason. You bring up quiet before the storm, Stefan, and that is what's going on right now. Game one, NBA Finals tomorrow. Everyone has been waiting for it since Cleveland wins the title last year at Oracle Arena. They're going to start at Oracle again. A lot of all-stars, a lot of Team USA guys. Two very different games that they played this year. A nail-biter, a great game on Christmas Day. The Cleveland Cavaliers defend their home floor. They look terrible on the road later, a couple of weeks later when they played at Oracle. How do you see this series panning out?
I see it being a tough series. I mean, I hope it doesn't turn into an all-star game, man. I really do. I hope it comes down to defense. And for the Warriors, man, I mean, you look at Cleveland, Chris, and you've got, all we talk about role players, Matt, and they've got all these role players who were stars on other teams, and you forget about them. Because you've got Kyrie Irving, mm-hmm. and he's so amazing. But then people forget about him because they've got LeBron James.
Right.
And I was watching some of the highlights and reviewing the game five against the Celtics. And what I saw was Kyrie Irving taking over half court offense, and then you've got LeBron running fast breaks, mm-hmm. and down the lane. And so it seems like they've got a nice system where everybody's in play. As far as the Warriors, I feel like they're a free-for-all right now. Let's be honest. It's a two-headed monster. You've got Steph Curry and you've got KD. Klay Thompson has kind of fallen into that Harrison Barnes role. And, I mean, man, I hope
he's a way better version of Harrison Barnes.
That's giving him a lot of credit.
But since the Olympics, he has not been the same Klay Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I feel like that's a problem. And that's a downward spiral, and he's not getting the ball as much.
Right.
And so when I'm watching them, you look at game four and you see Steph Curry getting to the basket and finishing a lot more in that first half. And I think he's going to need that against the Cavaliers, because they pretty much forced him to make too many turnovers last year. He was driving and then forcing passes. Now I feel like they've got another one-on-one guy in Kevin Durant who can kind of carry that load. And in the second half of the game four, you saw him moving the ball a little more. Now everybody's getting touches. I think they're going to have to do that a lot more against the Cavs as opposed to the one-on-one play, because once you do that, you isolate everybody.
Can they stop Durant?
That's a big question.
I mean,
who are they going to put on him? LeBron?
Yeah, I mean, who else?
That's a lot of weight.
Seriously, yeah.
Absolutely.
Who else would you put on him?
I mean, so if let's say they go big and put LeBron on, and they put KD at the, would that be big or small? And that's the crazy part. Would they put KD at the 4 and Draymond at the 5?
Yeah, there's a lot of combinations, Matt, to try and figure out, like, what does Kevin Love do? Is Kevin Love is he all the time on Draymond Green? Do they slide Tristan Thompson down? Where does Tristan Thompson have enough to harass Klay Thompson out by the 3-point line? Where do you go in terms of matchups if you're Coach Lou?
Yeah, man, I think the series really comes down for me to three guys, because I think, you know, Kyrie and LeBron are going to do their thing. There's no doubt about that. Steph Curry and Durant are going to do their things. It comes down to Klay Thompson, and like you said, the matchup there. Klay Thompson is going to be guarding Kyrie, and that's going to be a handful in itself. But can Klay Thompson knock down threes? And like you said, who guards Klay Thompson? Is it J.R. Smith that's going to be out on him when the Warriors are going big with JaVale McGee in there? Obviously, Tristan Thompson's got to guard McGee. So, you know, what does Kevin Love do? Is he on Draymond, or do they even put Love on McGee? So there's a lot of matchups there. But it comes down to Klay Thompson. It comes down to Kevin Love. Can he score and make plays? Because we saw in that Boston series when he was playing pretty well, especially getting off the fast starts, Cleveland, you know, kind of followed suit. And third, Draymond Green. There's going to be a lot of attention on him. You know, all the stuff that happened in this last series, what's he going to come out and do? Because with Durant there, they have that other scorer. So Draymond's got to do the little things, the passing, the rebounding, the playing defense on whoever it's got to be. How is he going to step up and play in this series? And I think those are the three guys that, you know, if those two guys, if Durant, Curry do their thing, which they will, if Klay and Draymond step up, I'm telling you right now, bold statement probably, but we're going to see a sweep.
No. Here we go. Oh, my goodness. I'm not saying
there
all that.
There it is.
I'm not doing that.
But, team ever.
You know what? You know Draymond can do that, and he has done that, but I think you're forgetting somebody. I think an X factor for the Warriors is Andre Iguodala, because he's going to be in the game so much to have to play defense, he's going to have to score. He's going to have to find a way, whether they find him in the corner, whether he's slashing. He's going to have to find a way to score, because they're going to need him on the floor to play defense.
Mm-hmm.
And, you can't forget about that guy. Klay Thompson's definitely going to, you know, hopefully he's able to channel a lot of the energy that he's not getting on offense onto defense. I mean, but we've seen Kyrie Irving just eat everybody in the league up. I mean, we saw him eat up Klay Thompson. This year was a game winner,
mm-hmm.
you know? Mm-hmm. And so
100%, if Cleveland were to win this series, Kyrie would be MVP. That's the only way they're winning this series.
I wish everybody else saw that.
If he carries them.
I wish everybody else saw that, because they forget what Kyrie does for LeBron.
Right.
And they look at LeBron's numbers.
For them last year.
Huh?
Without Kyrie, they would have not won game 7 last year.
Thank you. And LeBron, they give LeBron all this love because of his numbers. Now, I'm not taking away from his greatness, but Kyrie, I mean, that guy, I tell you what, none of the other greats had a point guard like this.
No, and one of the things about Kyrie Irving, I'll have you speak to this, Chris, that when you look at him compared to LeBron James, if you want to stop LeBron James, you find a way to switch and keep him out of the paint and force him to shoot bad jump shots. Mm-hmm. If you force Kyrie Irving to shoot jump shots, he'll just make them. So it doesn't really matter if he has to go to the hole, or if you keep him out on the outside, he's still going to find a way to score, where LeBron sometimes is a little bit dicey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I completely agree. But he is still LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Matt said that it's going to be a sweep. I think that's impossible.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well,
I think that's impossible. Only because, you know, LeBron's just not going to let that team get swept.
I will say this to you, Matt. According to the Basketball Power Index, there's a 93% chance that the Warriors win the series, a 64% chance that it is a sweep, or a five-game series, Matt.
Yeah. That's huge. You have to look at the way that the playoffs have gone down. I mean, we've seen Cleveland, you know, they've been able to put up a lot of points, but they're also giving up a lot of points, and that they haven't run into a team nearly as good as the Warriors yet. So, that, you know, if the Warriors come out and smoke them game one and they can't stop the Warriors from scoring, which, you know, we saw a lot of good defenses. I think Utah had a great defense, and, you know, they're giving up 120 to the Warriors. Yeah. So it's going to be, if they can't stop them at all, then there's definitely that possibility.
Right, and the Warriors do, for sometimes as little defense as they get credit for, they are scoring 19.3 points per game off of turnovers, and they're getting 18.5% of all of their points in transition. So if they're able to keep it at a high tempo and a high pace, I'm with you, Matt. I think Cleveland is in trouble, but we will find out, and I look forward to dissecting what we have seen so far with you guys next week. We're going to run to break real quick. When we come back, it is Q&A time. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920, The Game. It's time for a Q&A. Remember, if you would like to send us a question, just email us to submissions@joefanshow.com or tweet us @JoeFanShow. Clayton Hamilton here in Las Vegas in the studio. Chris Lockett from Heroes in the Rough, NBA insider Stefan Filial out in Oakland, California. Matt Reed. Matt, we will start with you. Marcus in Las Vegas asks, do you think the Seahawks will sign Colin Kaepernick, and will he be a good fit? #HawksForLife.
It's a good question, because it makes sense, definitely, for the Seahawks to get a backup like Kaepernick in there. I think he fits their system well. I think he does a lot of the same things, or can do a lot of the same things as Russell Wilson does. For Kaepernick, if he really wants to play, I think he should just wait, because as we see every season or every preseason, there's going to be guys that go down or guys that get injured. And if he really wants a chance to start, maybe he just has to wait it out. But Seattle would be a good fit. I know they're going after him, and it just depends on what he wants to do more, play or be part of a team, because it's a good locker room for him too.
I agree with Matt on that. I would like to see him there. I think he's in a place right now where he's okay playing that backup role, and he's comfortable, and he can learn under Russ Wilson, even though they're similar but different. Yeah, and with Pete Carroll there, I believe that's a really good spot for him.
I agree, because I think that's a great place for him. I think Pete Carroll will let him do his thing and just be himself. And I think for him to be a backup there, I think that's the best thing for him.
I think it is a good spot for him, but I'm with Matt. I don't think they're going to sign him for a couple of reasons. One, they have some cap issues, and I think he's just going to wait it out and find a home so he doesn't have to play for the veteran minimum with a team that needs a quarterback due to injury. Danny in Henderson asks, 2 months into the season, who's your top team in the American League East? #PennantChasers.
Clay, you'll be happy to hear the one team that you root for that actually wins ball games, the Yankees. I'm really impressed. Obviously, the offense, the young guys led by Aaron Judge, you know, the power that he has coming up big, but the pitching staff. Severino, I've watched him the last couple starts. Boy, he just has electric stuff. Jordan Montgomery, I think, is going to be a great fit for them, and a guy that, you know, should have a long career. And the bullpen, I mean, even with Chapman out, Betances is just lights out. So the Yankees are playing well. The one team to watch out for, Toronto got off to such a slow start, but they're getting healthy now. And I don't know if you saw the bomb that Josh Donaldson hit the other night to the fifth deck, but it's a team to watch out for in the East.
I have to go with the Yankees, unfortunately. Not a Yankees fan. But, yeah, man, I think that bullpen is key. And when they get rolling, I think that's just going to put them over the top for sure.
I'll go with the Yankees, although I do not like the Yankees. And I think Matt's exactly correct with the Blue Jays. They're getting healthy. Josh Donaldson, the bringer of rain, is coming back, and he makes a huge difference.
I as much as I love the Yankees, I think they're going to be a little bit too young and fall flat offensively as the season progresses. I'm with you guys on the Blue Jays, 8-17 in April, but they are 18-10 in May. They just swept the Reds. They're about to get super hot, but the team that nobody's talking about, that everyone was talking about at the beginning of the year, the Boston Red Sox.
Red Sox. Yeah. I was not going to mention those guys.
They're getting ready, and I feel like they're going to make a run more than anybody. that lineup can be scary. We'll see what happens to the laser show when he comes back from the
DL.
It
all depends what happens to Price.
The panda's back
filling in for Petey.
He's still eating, though.
Yeah, he is. He is still eating. There's nothing better in this world than watching him go first to third.
That's what it should be, though, right?
All right. You've been listening to the Joe Fan Show on NBC Sports Radio, 920 The Game. For Stefan, for Matt, and for our guest Chris Lockett, it's been Clayton Hamilton. Enjoy the games. T.C. Martin, the doctor, is next. Yeah,